few new IPPG members, which I'm excited to introduce. And then we'll go into the first topic of the taxonomy update and see how we get on to be able to get to the second topic. Rita, can you go ahead with the new introductions, please?
Yes, sure. Thank you, John. As some of you may recall, we issued a call for application for new members of the ITCG in April last year. I'm now pleased to inform you that the board has approved two new members. We have Suzanne Young from Wakiza. We'll introduce her in a minute, herself in a minute. And I will also have a member from the Turkish Accounting and Auditor Standards Board, Fatih Yalçın Mete. Unfortunately, Fatih cannot make it today because he had to attend a prior engagement regarding a launch of a standard in Turkey, so I can accept his apologies. Also, we have appointed a new observer. This will be John Turner from XPRL International. We also have within our team two new team members, Isa and Asha, and I will ask you to introduce yourself as well.
Thank you, Rita. Good morning, everyone, or good evening, everyone. My name is Isabella Ruta. I've been with the ISB for now over 6 years. Previously, I've been involved with insurance contracts projects. As we all know, insurance was launched in May this year, and that was the time when I transferred to the taxonomy. I've been involved with taxonomy before because when I've been doing insurance, I was involved with the presentation and disclosure requirements. And as a consequence of that, I was helping with modeling of the insurance contracts requirements to the taxonomy. So I had a little bit of exposure to taxonomy before I joined the team.
Thank you, Isa. Asha, do you mind saying something?
Yeah, of course. Thanks. Hello, everyone. My name is Aisha Ekinwale, and I am a technical associate new to UK in general. So, relatively a couple weeks into IFRS Foundation, and I'm on the taxonomy team. I'm excited to get on this new challenge. I've never done anything with taxonomy before, but I'm very excited to, get into a new space and start learning a lot more about, how we can make technology transform how we report financial statements. So, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Suzanne, are you on the line? Suzanne from Wakiza? Okay, we will wait a little bit later. Maybe she joins us later. And may I also ask, we also have a board member who has joined our IFRS Taxonomy Review Panel, and we have one attending here. Nick, do you mind?
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Nick Anderson. I joined the board on the 1st of September. My background is as a user, 31 years principally of buy-side experience, both managing research teams and managing money. I don't have any direct experience with taxonomy, although I've regularly built models using data sources from data aggregators.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, John, I give it back to you.
Hey, thanks. So we're going to move on to the first agenda topic. Is that going to be yourself, Rita, or Isabella that's going
to
present?
I'm going to ask Isa and Asha to present today. So Isa, if you wouldn't mind starting.
Sure, thank you very much. This is agenda paper one. It's a pack of slides. So what we are planning to do today is going to have two...
All participants are now muted.
So it's going to be divided into two parts. First, I'm going to give you an update of what's coming up next and how we started a few projects that are going on right now. And then Aisha will give you an overview of the proposed new data model for the defined benefit plans, which are part of our annual improvement pacts. And that will be the session that we will encourage a discussion on the new proposed modeling data. If we go to slide four, that is an overview of what's going to happen in the next few months. As you can see, we have four major activities. We are working on amendments to IFRS 9, and hopefully we will publish it soon. We also work on insurance contracts project, preparer's guide, and annual improvements, and the following slides will explain a little bit more about that. But as you can see, we are very busy right now in order to make sure that we provide most of those documents to be published in November. So slide five, that is the description of prepayment features with negative compensation. The board is planning to publish the amendments to IFRS 9 on Thursday, and at the same time we also would like to publish the update that is reflection of the disclosure requirements in the IFRS 9. You have seen that it was modeled in Excel. We've sent it to you in September. We have received two comments. Thank you very much for those that commented on that. One was just asking about the amendments itself. The other one was asking about the use of existing axes. So in the Excel, we have modeled the use of existing axes. It was about the classes of assets and liabilities. And there was a clarification how the members on those axes will be transferred. And obviously, they will be transferred with the axes as well. I'm thinking maybe for the future, I will put all the existing members as well, just to make it a bit more clear. So as I said, we are planning to publish the proposed IFRS taxonomy update on Thursday. It will be a standard 60 days comment period that will end on 11th of December. It's worth noting here that because it's just additional two tables to the taxonomy, we are not planning to publish the XBRL files. We only planning to publish the proposed taxonomy update Word document at that time. The next slide is about insurance contracts project. So that's a project that is dear to my heart. We have published the IFRS 17 in May this year. At the same time, we have published proposed taxonomy update with all XBRL files. We have given the public comment period of 120 days that have finished in the middle of September. Unfortunately, we didn't have received any public comments, but it was reviewed by ITCG before. We are planning to publish the final document because we need to follow all the due process steps first. So we are planning to publish that document, the final taxonomy update, sometime in November. On slide seven, this is the preparer's guide. My understanding is that we've been discussing that with you quite a few times. This is based on the request from the trustees of the IFRS Foundation to provide some additional guidance to prepare to make sure that there is a accurate tagging of IFRS financial statements. I believe you reviewed the guide in June this year, and we plan to publish the final document on the website in November this year. The last part of the presentation is the annual taxonomy improvements. It has four major improvements. One is the enhanced model for continuing and discontinuing operation. I have one slide that is following this slide that is discussing a little bit what are the major proposals, but this was already discussed with you in June. The next part is related to defined benefit plans. This is something that we're planning to talk to you today. There will be also changes to reflect transition disclosures in IFRS 9, and this will be based on modeling again on insurance contracts projects. So when we've been doing the prepayment features and insurance contracts proposed taxonomy update, we found out that actually similar disclosures are in IFRS 9, and we just want to make sure that those disclosures will be consistent with what we already proposed modeling. So this will be part of the annual taxonomy improvements. And there will be some other minor improvements in the document as well. Those minor improvements and the IFRS 7 improvements will be part of the pack that we are planning to send to you sometimes at the end of October or the beginning of November. So if we move to slide nine, this is just a summary of what we've been discussing with you already. So the discontinuing operation, it will be improved data modeling. We will change the default axis for continuing discontinuing operation, just to improve tagging and hopefully understanding of how the financial statements should be tagged, especially when there is no discontinued operations. There will be a new table instead of line items to tag disclosures that are related to analysis of the single amount of discontinuing operation. And the last one, we will change the documentation labels to make sure, again, that the users of taxonomy will understand how to use the tags relating to continuing discontinuing operations. If we move to slide 10, this is just an overview of what's coming up next, apart from all the projects that we are doing. The ISB working on some minor amendments to the standards. All of those changes that you can see on the slide are part of the IFRIC team. Some of them are big enough to be put as a separate project, and actually three of them will be part of annual improvements. We did discuss it with the teams. It doesn't seem that there will be any major impact on the taxonomy, and as you can see here, it is limited or non-assessed impact on the IFRS taxonomy. So that is all about the update of what we are doing right now and what we expect to happen in the until the end of the year. I would now like to ask if you have any comments before we get to the next part of the presentation.
Any comments? Because it's very quiet, yeah. We just want to make sure that technology is working here.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Ashok, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Ashok.
So the question is that when we update taxonomy, which you would do very shortly, November or the December time, a couple of the items you mentioned, are you saying that it will be updated in a 2017 taxonomy, or would it be in a 2018 taxonomy?
Probably you are referring here to the annual taxonomies, Ashok. So our due process.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So our due process normally say, look, each year we publish an annual taxonomy. But during the year, we also publish updates to the annual taxonomy. But all the
Correct.
Updates we've published to the annual taxonomy will be reflected in the next annual taxonomy. So for all the improvements, for all the updates that I have been referring to, there are updates to the 2017 taxonomy, which all will be fully reflected in the 2018 annual taxonomy. Yeah.
Very good. That's a great answer, because
Thank
I'm
you.
Just referring. Because SEC has approved for the foreign filers 2017 taxonomy,
mm-hmm.
so it would not have whatever the things we are now proposing, which will become effective in 2018, it would not be in a 2017 taxonomy, mm-hmm. which published by SEC.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. It
yeah.
will be in the 2018 annual taxonomy, and I'm not sure if Mike or Kimberly is on the line and won't skip in here, but my understanding is then that SEC will look at the 2018 annual taxonomy and will apply the same approval process that they have done for the 2017 annual taxonomy.
Rita, thank you so much for that wonderful answer. While I'm on there, may I request that this, the publishing, the 2017 taxonomy by SEC, and I know you don't have control of SEC, I totally appreciate that, but it was totally out of, from nowhere. In fact, I actually understood through one of the articles called Accounting Age, published from the USA, on my, the web, the page, suddenly it alerted me that, SEC has now published 2000 IFRS taxonomy. And so Obviously, nothing was published in the public domain, not from ISB or SEC. It was just suddenly become available, and it is now published in SEC website, 2017 taxonomy. There is nothing at all written at all. And I know, I appreciate you don't have any control on that one. But is any way, this is my suggestion, is any way we can have some sort of conversation with SEC, and I hope somebody from SEC listening what I'm saying now, if it's present, some kind of the announcement, the ahead of publishing taxonomy. Because the issue is now, as you know, that this is the first time all foreign company who are using IFRS for several years now will be tagging using IFRS, the taxonomy. And so now everybody using 2016 taxonomy, but suddenly SEC published 2017 taxonomy, and there are some addition of the tags. And it's really become so confusing, the filers and the people who do work for them, which taxonomy should be using. So anyway, it's a suggestion, if we have that conversation with SEC people or other regulators.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
That would be appreciated.
Thanks, Ashok, for raising this up. And again, I will just mention this to the SEC. I can't comment on their publication procedure, on their approval process, but I will, if they're not attending today this call, I will definitely mention this to them. And that's all.
Rita?
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
This is Donna from the FASB. I just wanted to let everybody know they can sign up for alerts from the SEC. So if you go to their website on the XBRL page, you can sign up for email updates and you'll get alerts.
That's what I thought as well, but I didn't want to comment on behalf of the SEC. So again, thank you very much. And we have a look at that as well, Ashok, then on the email alerts on the SEC website. Okay.
I'm already on their alert list, but I didn't get any alert at all. That's the point.
We will discuss it. But are there any other points that members want to raise about the slides that Isa has just presented, or any concerns? Because especially for the annual improvements, we would really like you to review the annual improvements by the end of October, early November. Now, this is going to be what I call a fatal flaw review, because it really includes amendments that we have already generally discussed with you at previous meetings, or a small change for these transition agreements, which applies the same model as we have previously done. But if not, then I suggest we go ahead with Ashok's presentation. Any other?
Rita, I have it.
Yeah.
There's one more.
Rita. This is Lou Roman. I have a question on the preparer's guide. I know we reviewed it back in the summer. Where can I find the most recent version of the preparer's guide?
The most recent public version is still the draft version that we issued to the ITCG members at the June meeting. That is available on our website if you go through consultative groups, and it will be one of the agenda papers of this consultative group. But Lou, after this meeting, I will just send you a link to that page, because I can't remember the whole navigation of our website at this time. Now, what we have done since then, we have made some changes. Some are editorial changes, and some are a little bit more substantive changes. The main substantive change relates really to include more about text blocks and text block tagging. Now, I will bring this topic back in our November call, where we'll give you more insight as to what has changed and why we have changed compared to the draft version available in June.
Okay, thank you. Send that link. I'd like to read through it one more time.
That would be good. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Think we can move on, everything?
Yeah, okay. Whatever you have to do, Flavia, can you do it again?
Yeah, we'll just put in the presenter mode.
Okay.
All participants are now muted.
Yes, I can. Okay. So the next section of the presentation, we're going to talk about one of the areas of improvement for the upcoming 2017 annual taxonomy improvement project, and that centers around a new data model for
defined benefit plan. So specifically today, we're going to talk about, you know, what the requirements are in the current IFRS standards and how those requirements are modeled in our taxonomy at the moment. And, you know, from that discussion, we'll really see that our current taxonomy doesn't provide all the, you know, elements that an entity might use to appropriately tag the specific paragraph that's in question for this model. And, you know, following that, we're going to walk you through what our proposed changes are, and they relate to, you know, either adding new axes and, you know, associated members, or maybe pulling in an existing axis from a different part of the taxonomy at the moment. And, you know, we're going to end with a Q&A session from you, but really as we go through this next couple of slides, you know, if you have any questions or concerns as we go through it, please, you know, feel free to raise them up so we can kind of have a more...
I should come to the presentation because of the IT, because we have to put people on presentation. So we will take the questions at the end of the presentation,
So don't hang on tight, we'll address them at the end of the presentation. So on slide 13, kind of gives you an excerpt from IAS 19 employee benefits that's the subject of, you know, the proposed changes. And, you know, just as a background, IAS 19 provides the accounting and disclosure requirements for employee benefits. And this paragraph 138 specifically provides, you know, 5 examples of how an entity can disaggregate disclosures about plans with materially different risks. And it provides, you know, examples such as, you know, disaggregating by geographical locations, you know, different characteristics, which also has further sub-examples, different regulatory environments, you know, different reporting segments, as well as different funding arrangements, all quarterly with, you know, sub-examples as well. So on the next slide on, you know, 14 kind of gives you a general glean into how the IFRS taxonomy currently has this paragraph modeled. And, you know, we really only have one defined benefit plans axis with, you know, with 6 different members. And the 2 of the members really only try to address or, you know, capture one of the 5 examples in the slide we just walked through. And that's the foreign defined benefit plans and domestic defined benefit plan members. We incorporate them in the taxonomy to really enable entities to capture the geographical locations piece of the paragraph. But, you know, even at that, we think it's inconsistent with that requirement in, you know, paragraph 138A, because, you know, the paragraph is really asking for geographical locations, and entity can very well disaggregate geographical locations further than just foreign and domestic. And really, you know, the table does not include any elements at all to capture the other 4 examples B through E in the previous slide that we just saw as well. So because our existing policy is for the taxonomy content to include all examples provided within the standards, we are proposing a number of improvements to the existing data model for, you know, defined benefit plans. And this next couple of slides will walk you through what those proposed changes are. So on slide 15 is the first proposed change, and it relates to, you know, the example on geographical locations. So currently in the taxonomy, we have an existing geographical areas axis that we are proposing to add to the defined benefit plans table to be able to capture that example relating to geographical locations. And we think this, you know, adding an existing axis will support consistent tagging of geographical breakdowns across other areas in the standard where such is required. So for example, in the disclosure of an entity's operating segment, or, you know, for disaggregation of revenues from contracts from customers. So, you know, just pulling in that geographical areas axis into the defined benefits table, you know, entities can make sure they're using the same geographical breakdowns across all their requirements as such. And as a result of that addition, we'll be proposing to deprecate the foreign defined benefit plans and domestic defined benefit plans members. On slide 16 is the second proposal, which relates to the second example in paragraph 138 regarding different characteristics of the defined benefit plans. And if you recall, within that particular example, there were 3 sub-examples provided, and those are in the excerpt on this slide, the last 3 members, so the flat salary pension defined benefit plans, final salary pension defined benefit plans, as well as the post-employment medical defined benefit plans. So we've incorporated that into, or we're proposing to incorporate that into the taxonomy. In addition, through our research, we came to understand that, you know, it is common practice for companies to provide an aggregated number for disclosures relating to all pension defined benefit plans. So you see on there that we're also proposing to have a common practice element as shown on the slide that would enable entities to capture that practice that's currently done as well. On slide 17 is the third proposal, which is really, you know, two in one. And here we're proposing to also add new access and members to capture the examples in C, which is about different regulatory environments. So here we're proposing to add a regulatory environment access as well as a member, because we currently don't have that in the taxonomy in general. And on the right-hand side on the slide, you see that there's also an excerpt relating to the example E regarding different funding arrangements. And if you recall in the excerpt of the paragraph, that particular example had two sub-examples provided, and then they are the ones represented in the last two members on that slide. So the wholly unfunded defined benefit plans as well as wholly or partly funded defined benefit plans has been incorporated, or we're proposing to incorporate that into the new access. And then finally, as it specifically relates to that paragraph, we're proposing to add another access that's currently existing within the taxonomy in general, and that's the segment access. So, you know, it's also used in the operating segments table, you know, in other the other place in the taxonomy as well as other tables. So we're proposing to add that access within the defined benefits plan table to really capture that requirement D regarding reporting segments as well. And then going over to slide 19, IAS 19 gives examples of defined benefit plans. And if you look at that bottom excerpt on the slide, the last three members, multi-employer, defined benefit plans, state defined benefit plans, as well as defined benefit plans that share risk between entities under common control, are examples of defined benefit plans provided in the standard. So what we are proposing to do is to add a new member to really capture, you know, all other defined benefit plans other than these three that's mentioned in the standard. So at the very top, the first excerpt rather on this page really shows you what that proposal is, and that's the member that's highlighted, just to make sure that, you know, it's like a fulsome approach towards all the plans that an entity, just in the event that an entity holds plans other than the three that are specifically mentioned on the standard. And really that's, you know, about all the changes that we're proposing for defined benefit plans. And we think with all these different proposals, we think there'll be really good coverage over elements that an entity can use to appropriately report that particular paragraph in the taxonomy. On slide 20 is just more of a general note to let you know that within IAS 19 in general, there's actually five different tables. So far we've been talking about the defined benefit plans table, but all the proposed changes we've just talked about will also equally be applied to the other four tables, because they have similar requirements as the one specifically in that paragraph 138 regarding defined benefit plans. So this table is also suggests that entities disaggregate disclosures by, you know, geographical locations, segments, and the like. So we're going to incorporate those changes into all these tables in the taxonomy as well. And you know, that's all I have on the defined benefit plan. So at this point, we'll take questions or, you know, comments from the ICCG members.
All participant lines are now unmuted.
Okay. Members, do you have any particular questions or even agreement with our proposed approach that would be also very helpful too?
Can I have a question?
Sure.
Yes, question.
Go ahead.
Page 19. I can't understand why this new member is needed. The page 19. You said your proposal 5 is the concerning to add a new member, obligated members. Can I ask you to explain this one again?
Yeah, sure. So this particular, so currently in IAS 19, in different places within that employee benefits standard, It provides, you know, specifically within the standard, three examples of defined benefit plans are provided, and those are the three that I'd initially mentioned. And if you look at the bottom excerpt, it's the they are the multi employee defined benefit plans, state defined benefit plans, as well as defined benefit plans that share risk between entities under common control. So those are specifically mentioned in the standard, but the new member we're proposing to add would essentially try to capture other examples of defined benefit plans, if there are any for the particular entities that are not mentioned in the standard. So it's just a way for us to make sure that there is, you know, coverage across all types of defined benefit plans other than the ones that specifically mentioned in the standard in the event that it applies to the entity. And, you know, this particular, you know, catch-all member, if you will, is, while it's not specifically mentioned in the standard, we've done it in other areas within the taxonomy to make sure we have that full representation. So that's what we're really trying to get at here. I don't know if that answers your question or if you have any more concerns.
She just completes a breakdown. That's what it is. So it's like if a standard mentions, for instance, A, B, and C, but there's also could be something else than A, B, and C, because A and B and C may be the exceptions, then you really need to make sure that users or preparers also have an element to give this things other than what's mentioned in the standard. So it's a, it completes what we call a logical breakdown of an axis.
We thought, look, it worked very well, and it represents quite well the standards. Where we thought where we may have to add something, we did, like since in the case that the standard mentioned, okay, you need to give a disaggregation of the flat and the other, forgot now what the other pension is, but when you look then at report, companies may report like their total pension plans and their total healthcare benefits plans, and then they give a disaggregation of the pension plan. So I think we tackled that, yeah. So I think the team felt quite confident. The team didn't see that there were particular areas and thought we had addressed them, but that's of course why we bring it to you. Is there anything that you can still see that we have not addressed properly, or and before we ask it for your fatal flaw review?
I guess something that could be helpful to mention, we did sit down with someone, you know, within the IFRS Foundation that's quite knowledgeable about IAS 19, and we walked her through the same presentation that we just walked you through, and, you know, she agreed that, you know, a lot of the changes would really provide that full coverage about that paragraph. So we have sat down with someone and they agree, you know, just someone other than our team that gives us that check, that, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, I do. Ashok here. Okay. So your proposal seems to be pretty good. Only questions I have, when you use, you know, the geographical area as axis and geographical area as a member, are you suggesting that you will be using various countries as a member?
Okay, typical, with, because we within the taxonomy, we have an axis for geographical areas, but we do not specify particular countries or particular country codes. Because really we know and we are aware that outside of the IFRS Foundation, there are other organizations who may have more expertise in organization of this content. So we made long time a decision that, in fact, together with the board, that any areas that are outside of the direct responsibility of the IFRS Foundation, yeah, or outside of the direct expertise of the IFRS Foundation, are not included within the taxonomy. And we made that decision because, in fact, XBRL is a quite interoperable language, so, in fact, a preparer can work with multiple taxonomies to track one particular filing. So our policy remains really like the organizations who have the particular expertise in developing
countries or country codes or taxonomy for geographical areas, these are the organizations who really should design these taxonomies. But that means, because these taxonomies currently exist, I also realize that that means now in practice that preparers would have to add their own country descriptions or country codes that may lead to variety in practice. And I'm also aware that some regulators may be taking steps to try to resolve this. But we have to continue to say that we will not add country codes, the same as we're not adding credit ratings or things like that, because it's not within the expertise of the IFRS taxonomy and of this organization. The IFRS taxonomy is for IFRS reporting. I know it's not a perfect answer, it's probably the answer you wanted to hear, Ashok, but that that remains of you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other thoughts? Question?
One last comment. Okay. I'm extremely glad you added the common practice element, pension defined benefit plans member. I think that one will get used a lot.
Thanks.
So, good.
Okay. No. Then I think you all agree with our approach, and so our next step is we'll provide you with the files for you to review that we have not made any errors, rather than providing additional comments on the content. Okay. Thank you, Asha.
Okay, do we move on to the next presentation?
Yes.